You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
What's up, punters and dribblers? Welcome back to another episode of the Hello Sport Podcast. I'm Unqualified Opinion and Unwavering Bias. It's a Monday. It's about all I know from a date perspective. But we are back on deck after a serious few days. You forget it was even fucking Anzac Day last week.
It was Anzac Day last Thursday. Shout out to the Anzacs.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the Diggers. I had a fucking great Anzac Day. Almost my favourite day of the year, I'd say.
It's pretty good.
My favourite.
It's pretty good. It's pretty damn good.
It's an absolute ripper. Then we nipped up to the gully.
Yep. Podcast Royale.
Call some biffs.
Commentary team.
Was interesting.
It was interesting. It was very interesting.
Very interesting.
Incredibly interesting.
Just one of the most interesting sort of, days of my life, really. Where we start?
Oh, I think it has to be, right? Because then there's also some NRL media news that I want to get to as well. but the fucking Gold Coast Biffs. Shout out to Alpha Blokes who put on a fucking absurd, just an absolutely absurd night of fights. So fucking fun and random as fuck.
And dribbly.
Dribbly, dude. Their crowd, like, and I mean, there's some dribblers up there as well, but like the Alpha Blokes crowd, they are dribblers in the North like you would not believe, but they're also just like, they're not just the North, but just like there were weigh-ins for the fights. Podcast Royale, if you don't know what's going on, Alpha Blokes put on a podcast fight night in the Gold Coast. We went to the weigh-in. We were going to dinner we brought Steph and Ella up to the Goldie with us, and we were like, fuck. They were like, oh, we'll come to the weigh-in. Press conference, sorry. Pre-fight press conference, a bit of a giggle. We're like, yeah, sweet. I think it's at the casino. They opened the car, and then we're like, oh, actually, no, it's at this fucking footy club around the corner. Get there, and this is no knock on the footy club, but it's not the casino. You know what I mean? It's not the casino at all. And get in there, and it's just mullets, leg tats, shin tats, sleeve tats, fucking Alpha Blokes hats, fucking all this shit. Just like everyone just pounding rums. They're all off their fucking guts. And Steph and Elle are like dressed, looking hot, ready for dinner. And they were just like, holy shit, what are we doing?
Yeah, they were thrown off kilter a little bit, but I thought it was important that they see the people for
Eddie
who they
kept
are.
Saying, Eddie goes, it's important you see this.
But it is. I think it is.
Of course it is.
We nipped in there. It was great. Ella got very excitable. She said, let's get fireball shots of the equivalent of.
Yep.
Had half of hers. Steph didn't have hers at all.
She didn't even have a bit of it.
So we had to, great start there.
Well, but after we'd already been on the cocktail since like fucking midday.
Correct. But it was fucking heaving. It was there and then at the presser, at the local club. Mullets flowing. Rum getting slurped.
And the rest getting
slurped. Fucking utes in the car park that I... And probably 500 people?
Yeah, at least 500 people there.
That you realise, oh, this is going to be a huge do tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a
huge
do.
This is going to be a massive do.
All the fighters sitting on trestle table, fold-out chairs out on the grass there, talking shit with each other.
Which was great. Jarchi probably talked the... He probably had the greatest line.
His line was the best. He accused Groper of being a pedophile right off the right off the bat, which is a hard one to come back from. And basically he just said, like, oh, good on you, Groper, for, you're not meant to be within 300 metres of kids, so well done on breaking the law to be here for the press conference. And everyone laughs. Groper, a man of few words, it would seem, at least in the press conference business, didn't give Jarch much back. But as we were saying, Eddie, to deny an accusation like that would only make you sound more guilty. Like, yeah, that's not true. I'm not a fucking... You're like, well, you're fucking... Me, what is it? That's the Shakespeare thing. He doth protest too much. Like, relax, buddy. It was a joke.
So that was probably as good as it got for Jarch, though.
Yeah,
He may have won the war of words, but that was about the only
battle,
thing
not war.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a small battle.
It was a very small, it was a brief battle, but so was the war. The war was brief as well. We'll get to that. Lukey Stowe talked some shit as well.
Actually, that's
Michael
true.
From the Michael, cast.
Yeah.
They
were the most animated between each other, going back and forth.
Yeah.
Little jibs, little jibes.
Little jibs, jabs, and jibes. But that was good. We got the fuck out of there and went to Din's. That was lovely. Shout out to dinner. Shout out to Manly for the win. We'll get to you. Next day comes around, Eddie, and it's fight day. I now think that you and I obviously have a bit more of an insight into how John Anik, Joe Rogan, and Daniel DC Cormier feel on fight day. When you're like, oh, we got to... I'll be honest.
Fucking relaxed.
It's very little. Margaritas by the pool. Lunches, brunches, margaritas by the pool was sort of our Saturday.
That's exactly what we did. Then I had a couple more up to the room while I ironed my shirt.
Well, you got to iron your shirt, mate.
And we got ready. We got into our fineries, punters and dribblers. Yep. Obviously, we went full tux. We went patent leather shoes.
Fur coats.
And huge big fur coats. Mink.
Yeah.
Full mink.
Full mink, allegedly.
They were hot.
We were the best dressed there. Unfortunately, I think the best dressed competition was like, show us your best mullets. So, you know, it was...
If it's best dressed,
we were best dressed. Comfortably.
We had huge big mink coats on.
Yeah. Tuxed out the ass.
Tuxed within an inch of our lives, punters and dribblers.
Yeah.
Dripping in mink. Have I mentioned that?
Mm.
So obviously we were best dressed, but we needed to be because we had a role to play.
We did. We had a huge role to play commentating for the pay-per-view. Now, how many times have you commentated, Tom and Eddie? You would ask. I can hear it. Never would be the answer.
Twice.
Well, now twice.
We going into that, we'd commentated.
Once?
Yeah, we'd done a boxing night.
Yeah, I guess so. We'd commentated three fights, and it was on KO, so you couldn't necessarily speak. You couldn't say what you wanted to say, be who you wanted to be, do what you want to do.
But I think it would be unfair to us
to say that we'd never
having sat through that night on KO where we got some long fights, a couple of 12-rounders, which was real tough.
Yeah, that was tough
and
stuff.
Just say that we've never done it.
Well, because I tell you why it was tough, because we were meant to – what we were able to do at the Podcast Royale, Australian Boxing's Night of Nights, was we were able to commentate the way we see commentary should be done. That's with very little expert analysis. Thank you, Danny Green. None. Whereas the one on KO, there was no expert with us, so we were in deep water with fucking no idea how to swim. Anyway, we get there, though. It was nice to get down there all frocked up, looking hot, walking around in the belly of the stadium.
Big operation. Gold Coast Convention Centre. I think they had about 3,500. Just when you're behind the scenes, realising how much is going on, catering, fucking technicians, like the staff.
Just the exactly. Everyone making sure like everything's working. Again, Cam from Alpha Bloke, his wife Cass, I think was like the main fucking mover and shaker around this whole thing. Just couldn't have done a better job, but like also, fuck doing that job.
Yeah, you can fuck that right off.
You can fuck that right off. I hate having to organise anything, really.
Nah, I wouldn't have done it.
No.
Didn't do it.
No, he commentated.
But wouldn't have. So we sit down with the great Danny Green.
Well, I wonder,
what about
just before we do sit, we did sit down with close personal friend Danny Green, but we were also in the green room with Buster from Two Flogs and the Pooh Bandit from Alpha Blokes. And I tell you what, like you and I, we couldn't have been more relaxed. We weren't nervous. I'm not saying these two gentlemen were, but Buster had a couple of like Nurofen or some shit and like on an empty stomach, and that man needed his gluten-free wraps yesterday and they weren't coming.
And the longer the time went on with Buster being denied gluten-free wraps, the more enraged it became.
He was not happy about it, which I get, because he was like, hey, I need to eat something before we do this show. And he had a huge role. He was in the ring. He's fucking doing all that. And they're like, yeah, no worries. And they bought our sandwiches, which were delicious, by the way.
I had a couple.
But I don't think it helped that we were able to enjoy sandwiches in front of him when he couldn't do it. and he just had Nurofen, which not much having an empty stomach, and he was under the impression he was going to get some. To the point where he had to walk, like, basically storm out of there into the kitchen and be like, gluten-free wraps, motherfuckers, where are they? And they're like, oh, they're just here. He's like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, he ended up yakking because it took too long. Poor cunt was booting in the bathroom. All's well that ends well.
That's right. We walked out, obviously, to spinning around Kylie Minogue.
Yep.
Because...
Well, everything else was... I think a lot of people were like, well, she's a great Australian. I think a lot of the music was very like...
Sincere
and aggro. You know what I mean? Like, fight night. Whereas, like, we weren't there to fight. So I think that spinning around was more truthful to the mood that we had, which was we're just here to spin around a little bit. Like, that's all we're doing. That's all we're here to do is just spin around.
And look fabulous.
And look fabulous. Like, dancing in the ring and shit.
More than happy to spin around and look fabulous. When everyone else is fighting, I'm spinning.
Yeah.
Because I don't fight.
No.
I spin.
Spin yarns.
Spin yarns. There you go. Spin yarns.
Spinning a yarn. Move out of my way. I know you're hearing me because I'm spinning a yarn. Anyway. But the great and powerful Danny Green out there with us. He, obviously, a consummate professional and a dear friend now, as you mentioned there before, Eddie.
One of the great handshakes of all time.
Yeah, and it's like his hand's broken as well, like perpetually. He's got this huge lump in it, and so you shake it, and you're like, not only have you maintained the rage from a consistency of pressure, do you know what I mean? There's like, it's a very nice, well-rounded pressuring.
I really like his pressure.
But then you also get to look at this fucked hand from like years of boxing.
Well, I'm looking him in the eyes. I don't know what you're doing.
You look everyone in the eye, but if you don't get a glance of a man's hand, especially when it's fucking that full, well-rounded pressure. You didn't see that big old lump? Huge, dude.
I'm down the bloody...
This is how
down the iris,
this is how
mate.
You do it. No, mate, you're obviously getting too overwhelmed. Bang, hand there. As you come away, you can't help but notice Mount Vesuvius on the top of the knucks. It's fucked up. But...
I think you might have broken a bloody gaze, mate.
Mate, I just felt your hand then. That was as weak as piss.
Yeah, I would just hand it to
you.
Oh,
okay, right, yeah. No, no, no. Listen.
Like Rose on the Titanic, I've just handed
I'm just
my
saying,
hand
that, was a, that was an awful handshake from you, whereas you got nice pressure there from me. I will always show you the respect of a pressured handshake. Is it actually disrespectful not to provide pressure, or does it just mean you're a bit of a puss?
I've taken a lot of hands into my own, Tom, and not everyone provides pressure. In fact, I'd probably say it's more like 50-50.
Yeah, dude, it's like, if I could pass on, or if we could pass on one maybe piece not 50-50. I'd say 50-50, probably too strong. But if we could pass on
but
one piece of knowledge.
But at least 30% lack pressure.
If you have any concern or doubt about, like, wait, am I one of those guys who has no pressure? Like, go away and work on it. Do not come with soft cock pressure. Just, it's the fucking, it's like a subconscious body language thing, and people will assume many things about you. Not intentionally. But they will, based on your
It'll be forced upon them.
And this is, we're speaking mainly just to men here. I don't know if that's sexist. I don't think so.
I'm not speaking to women.
We're not.
No.
We're speaking not. To men.
You don't have to have a...
You do whatever you want.
You can do whatever the fuck you want. You don't even need to shake your hands if you don't want to. But Danny Green, on the other hand, just, he envelops. He doesn't intimidate, though.
No, he's not
trying to show
up. He
doesn't intimidate with his shake. He's just letting you know... Hi, I'm Danny Green. I have won world titles. I have got the biggest pay-per-view in Australian history. No, I won't be telling you what that number was. And yes, I do know a thing or two about the sweet science. Yeah. That's what he's saying with his hand.
Yes.
So Danny Green sits down next to us. It's fucking loud in there. Did I mention 3,500 screaming punters? That's a lot of people. And they were all baying for rugby league blood.
Mm-hmm.
They got it too. We'll get to that. But... the first thing I noticed as I sat down and began was that we didn't have a return feed in our headphones.
Let's explain return feeds.
You maybe do that because you worked in radio.
And it pissed me off greatly. And I obviously chose to be more evolved than to be a barbarian in that moment and to get really fucking pissed off. But basically, headphones are on. The feed that goes out is the voices of the commentary team. and that goes into a microphone and then to your
to the truck.
Pay-per-view screens. Then the return feed is our voice going out and then coming back so that I can, in a stadium full of 3,000 people, hear what Danny's saying, hear what Eddie's saying, even hear myself to some degree. That was not there. Now, initially when we started, I was like, oh, this must just be like a button they haven't switched on here. Like, not, I don't know that much tech in terms of how it's implemented. And I'm like, hey, we can't hear ourselves. So you've got like one ear off. Again, I'm like leaning in. It's like me, then Eddie in the middle, then Danny on the other end. So if Danny's talking, there's fucking no chance I can hear it. Or if you and I are having a conversation, Danny can't hear shit. And listen, not to knock the people who were behind the scenes production. I don't know how it happened, but they were like, we don't have a return feed. I'm like, what? Why the fuck don't we have a return feed? Like, how's that work? Like, it wasn't booked. I'm like, what do you mean booked? Who the fuck doesn't want to be able to hear themselves when you're commentating in a fucking room full of 50,000 people? 3.5. But you know what I mean? It was insanity. And then they were like, hey. And I'm like, hey, how are we going? Are we going to fix this? Are we going to fix this? Like, no, we don't have it. I'm like, okay. Fellas, this is going to be a long one. And it was a long one, but no, like it was, we got used to it pretty quick, but it basically just meant the whole time, and for those listening, you won't be able to tell, but we just were all like leaning all the way into each other like this. Eddie, what do you reckon about that one?
Yeah.
And well, then you're screaming across to Danny, Eddie, insight on that, Danny. Then Danny going, what? Like, fuck.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough, but not preventative.
Listen, dude.
Lisa.
Well, listen, prohibitively.
Yep.
What I think what it speaks to, Eddie, is the ability of you and I, and now it's not necessarily unique to just you and I, but there is a very sort of, there's only a few people probably on the planet that possess it, and that's just an ability to adapt and overcome.
Listen, we had to call an audible.
We had to call an audible. You know what that was? Just take one ear out.
Yep.
And yell.
Yeah. But it worked.
It worked.
To a degree.
We can't. I haven't listened back.
I haven't excavated what happened. No. I haven't watched the pay-per-view back. I won't be.
No, I won't.
I don't think.
That's only because I don't want to hear myself, not because of anything else.
Well, I just, you know, exactly right. It's more about me than anything.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
And my own insecurities.
Correct. Of which there are many. But anyway, we're underway. The first fight, Quinn, it was the battle of the switch bitches.
Quinn the Chin.
From our, he's Alpha Bloke's producer. He's a more animalistic, masculine version of Tobler.
he's Tobler with a bit of ticker.
Yeah, exactly. Tobler with ticker and a chin. He got in
and huge.
Huge. He was in there and he fought Moose from Two Flogs podcast. And it was you want to talk about starting off right? Like, that thing got the people pumping. They would have landed, like, 50 shots each on each other's head.
Minimum. Moose came out in, like, a mask and shit.
With a posse, and they were all wearing a mask. It. Yeah. It was intimidating. But
it was fucking amazing.
They beat the fuck out of each other.
Beat the fuck out of each other. And just kept walking forward. Quinn took some punishment.
Yeah. And I think as well, Quinn dropped a shitload of weight for this. We're like, all the Alpha Blokes crew and all those guys, like they almost to a man, except for maybe Cam, they all seem to drop like a shitload of weight. Like they really fucking put in some effort. And so then to see Quinn get up, he was almost emotional at the end of the fight, how much like work it seemed like he put into it. But it was, I was fucking jacked after that fight and the whole crowd was going psycho because it can be a bit flaily when it's like dribbler biffs, but like, there was some connection going on. Serious connection.
By the end of the fight, lactic acid had taken such a hold. Moose couldn't even lift his arms.
No.
He couldn't even throw a punch.
No.
Literally couldn't get his arms above horizontal.
Moose had reverted to all fours, as moose do. You know what I mean? He was just on hands and feet.
He'd become a moose.
He'd fully become a moose, sans antlers.
And yeah, no antlers out there, but the man was on all fours. Not literally, but may as well have been.
But he may as well have been.
Like, you know, at points throughout the whole fight night, boys' legs would be so tired that they'd almost be falling over.
Well, they did in Cam's fight.
If they threw a punch and got themselves off balance, they would collapse in a heap.
And like a bunch of times in that fight with Cam, like they just fucking...
Cam both, and Gibbo went down three or four times.
They fell onto each other a couple of times. Punters and Dribblers, I am really, really excited to talk to you about the number one betting platform on planet Earth, our good friends at Ned's. You know it to be true. We did a live show in their honour on Friday at Magic Round.
Jeez, it was fun.
It was so much fun, and it was great to see the great people of Ned's there. It was great to see punters like-minded as we are come together through the power of Ned's, Eddie. It was also great to get a couple of bets on the weekend.
Just the one for me, mate. But it was a biggie. It was a thickie. Did you get a couple, did you?
Well, I got one for the show, one in my civilian life. My civilian life often better, it would seem.
Often better, it would seem. Listen, punters and dribblers, you know the drill. If you want to punt on some rugby league this weekend, Ned's is the place to do it. Same game multis out the wazoo. You got same game multis on AFL too, if that's your poison. Bit weird, but you could do it if you wanted to. Yeah. I think the Waz won on the weekend. Maybe you want to punt on the Waz, get some value. Do that at Ned's. You know?
So look, you can follow along on all our profiles on the Ned's app. You can jump in the About Even group. The code's Dribbler. That's where you can interact with us. But just get around Ned's because they get around us. So let's get around people that get around us, get around each other. You know what I mean?
Completely agree. Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, Big Day Rosé. May sale, $50 off every case if you use the code MANLY.
It's just a layup.
Yeah.
It's just a layup from two generous podcasters.
That's it. You get six bottles of Big Day Rosé for $100 dues. That's $50 off.
Code MANLY. Capitalization not important.
But
HelloSport.shop.
It is important that you capitalize on the opportunity.
HelloSport.shop.
But anyway, that fight was fucking hectic. Then we had Das from Bloody Brilliant Beers versus Jace from Reggie's first leg of our multi, which we didn't bet on because obviously it would be completely inappropriate for us to do it.
It would have been completely inappropriate for us to bet on to bet on Jace.
But let's just say that we did have a verbal multi where we're like, this is what I think is going to happen. And then we put a few of those together. And as you do that, there's an imaginary monetary value that would...
You know, look good.
That would look good
on
if
paper.
You had money on it. Yeah, just on paper.
Yeah, and if you maybe had quite a bit on it. Yeah. Anyway, it's not the point. The point is that Tom and I
Like about figurative multi.
If we would have put it on.
Which we wouldn't.
We would never do that because we're professional. Yeah. But we had identified early in this whole thing that there might be a mismatch between Das and Jace.
Yeah.
We talked about it on the 6-hour potty, critical acclaim.
Seven.
Seven-hour potty. Thank you. 600th episode. We eyeballed Jace, a red nut of note.
Forearms.
With Popeye forearms. A big barrel chest and a demeanor, Tom, that suggested to me the guy was all heart.
And red freckles.
He just looked like a man that you wouldn't want to fucking cross.
And especially when you put him opposite Darcy, who's a sweet boy.
Who's a really nice guy.
A really nice guy, blue eyes, sweet boy. Any man who steps in there braver than Eddie and I, we would never fucking do it. But that's not, we're here, we're analysts.
Right? We didn't hop in. So by default, everyone that jumped in is braver than us, but that wasn't our role. Our role was to spin around.
Exactly. That's all we were, dude.
We're fabulous fur.
That's it. We were just there to be fabulous. And you know what? That took some bravery as well.
You know?
Could argue it took more bravery, but I won't get into that. Let's just say for now it didn't take more bravery.
Listen, we were there to eat grapes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thumb up, thumb down sort of
that's
shit.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Caesars.
Couple of Caesars. On
couple
the
of Caesars. But we weren't judging who lived or died. We were just...
Just judging.
Exactly. So...
Das got fucked up.
But I'll paint it... But I wanted to paint slightly more of a picture.
Okay.
Darcy had sand shoes on. Jace had boxing shoes on. Das had his shirt on. Jace had his fucking rig out. Das had a headgear on, which is, there's nothing wrong with wearing a headgear, but Jace didn't. It looked like one of the great mismatches of all time.
Well, it looked like someone was, listen, no, there is nothing wrong with wearing a headgear because concussions are real and everything.
I think it's smart that he wore one. But you can. But all still I'm saying is Jace didn't have one off.
With a fucking headgear on.
All I'm saying is Jace didn't have one off.
No, and Jace didn't leave with a concussion.
Great point. Listen, Jace fucked him up.
Jace dropped him twice, I think. Was it a one? Was it a round one knockout?
It was a round one knockout. Yeah. It is what it is. And if you had money on Jace, you'd be collecting and you'd be moving on.
And well, you'd be one leg down and you're four leg.
That's ball. Right. Jace also said after the fight that we'd actually heaped a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, we had, because we were like, you can't lose this. Like, and again, we were correct in that analysis. We were spot on, but Jace now had to live up to the unlosable fight. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you can't lose the unlosable fight, and he didn't. He did it quite easily.
But. Shout out to Jace and Darcy.
And Darcy. Shout out to him. Again, the singlet on was probably worse than the headgear.
He should have taken the rig out. Because he's not some
I don't understand.
I imagine he'd have quite a nice rig.
Well, it's better than fucking mine. You know correct. What I mean? Like, what do you do? It's better than Klutzy's. Klutzy had his shirt all the way off.
He did. Did he?
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Anyway. He did? Yeah.
So the third fight, seven man all in blindfold, Biff. Now
this is
where you start to get a real taste of what the evening's going to be like. This was fucking ridiculous in the extreme. They got seven punters up there that had bought tickets to the fight who wanted to put their hand up to fucking throw down. They were huge blindfolds were put on. They were wearing high vis, which seemed to be redundant,
given that they couldn't see.
Correct. Danny Green, I thought we might lose him at this point. He wasn't stoked about what he was seeing.
No. The man's, look, he's a big boxing guy, and this is
as far away from boxing purity as you can find.
It was basically a pub fight, but instead of being blind on booze, you were just literally blind. You just couldn't see. One of the guys, because they had like they had like minders or people that were like in the corners of the ring so that if you got knocked down, they stopped the fight, dragged the guy that got knocked out of the ring, and it's like, all right, we're back on. So those guys who were the drag queens, they, one point almost, this guy was ducking punches from fucking this guy dressed like Spider-Man with a Jonah Lomu hair, which again is a sentence you don't think you're going to say. It was complete fucking bedlam, to be honest. And then at the end of it, we're like, how do you even judge a winner in this fucking thing? Anyway, Danny was like, thank Christ that's over.
Was it a last man standing sort of?
No, they basically just voted on who they thought.
I think two were dragged out, and then it was a vote. I don't know what they won, maybe a couple hundred bucks or something.
Yeah, it was a voucher, but like, you could have been really fucked up in that thing.
Might have been a voucher for Country Trucker Cup, something like that.
Now, we don't need to go through every fight, Eddie, the origin fight. Brad and Chin Fat from Almost a Man against Gabe and Bluey, Daily Blue.
This was Queensland versus New South Wales. Yeah. The boys from the Daily Blue. It was an incredible biff. It really was. Bluey, another red nut in there representing the state.
He was actually potentially the best looking man on the thing in terms of like he was fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Veins in his arms.
Yeah.
And getting to work. But Gabe was like, when it starts, you go, okay, Bluey's coming out and he's trying to like murder them. And then Gabe comes in because he has to. But Gabe actually had a bit about him.
Well, I like that Bluey backed his man, Gabe, because basically they just went around for a round, whereas Brad and Shinfat were swapping a lot throughout the round.
Brad and Shinfat, they were struggling. But it was a close fight, but like they were tagging like it was going out of control.
But Gabe went in there and gave up probably 20 kilos to the other boys and had an absolute dig.
Yeah.
At the end of the fight, apparently there was a mistake.
There was controversy,
with the corners. New South Wales were actually in the blue corner, but they put him in the red or something like this. Anyway, after the fight, Queensland declared the winners.
Crowd went off. Crowd was like,
which was highly contentious. You might have thought as well, given that we're in Queensland, and I would suggest probably a more weighted Queensland crowd generally, you might have thought that there was more cheers of joy, but the crowd was
Mate, to be honest, it seemed like more of a pro-New South Wales crowd. Like, the chance of New South Wales were drowning out any Queensland.
It's a good point.
Drowning them out.
It's a good point, Tom.
Anyway, they leave the ring, and then it's like everyone's going, what the fuck? Bluey and Gabe are like over our shoulders going, are you fucking serious? They then call them back into the ring. Sanity prevails. We fucked
Ray up. Recount.
Oh, New South Wales win.
Cheering.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Look, Cam and Gibbo was a sloppy slugfest. There wasn't much to it other than Cam got the dub. It was a real, like, just two fucking booze hounds.
That's right. Molly and Ava in the lingerie fight was not a fight.
It wasn't. But
apparently they thought they were going to be jelly wrestling. They weren't. It was...
Listen.
The only thing you could glean from it was that the ref... Potentially, really enjoyed himself.
I honestly, I didn't know if I was able to mention it on the thingo, but I was where I couldn't see a penis for the first three rounds of the three fights of the night. I could now all of a sudden see the inference of a knob. And as these two chicks who were very scantily clad,
backing up on
each other, they were like just grinding on each other, and then like they'd come in and like almost kiss and roll around the ground, and then the ref would like have him like pick him up. I was like, I think he's getting hard. He also had a black eye, just to add to the
Do you think he got the black eye in the seven man all in?
I don't think so. I think he got it the week before, because I think he also was a fighter. Anyway, Lukey from Levels, Michael Cast Patrol, they punch on. First ever double shoulder dislocation that I've seen in my time covering the sport.
Michael's shoulders, one after the other, dislocate. Fucking bizarre. Lukey started as a 210 dog. Some people out there, I've been led to believe, saw that as an opportunity to load up and to pound.
Yeah. Not us, because...
We were told that there were people out there that had Lukey second leg in their multi. We also heard of a couple of blokes with great heads of hair and well-dressed individuals that might have given Lukey a real pounding.
Stood him out.
Stood him out and pounded him, put the maximum on him. Tom, not a lot of liquidity in the markets, but took what they could.
That was what you were hearing.
That's what we're hearing, but took what they could.
Yeah.
So... there would have been some happy punters out there, I think, when Lukey got the dub.
We made the point, and when you're an analyst, you guys wouldn't get it, but like you do need to talk about like alternate theories and things that may be happening for the people at home. And we were merely remarking that were you to have money on Lukey to win outright, stood alone, that when you saw Michael's shoulders both dislocate, that might have been a good thing for you. You might have been happy to see that.
There might have been a yelp of joy.
Mm-hmm. I was disappointed for Michael to see his shoulders dislocate, but it wasn't about me. I was speaking about the people who may have had money on Luke. And like it or not, when you have to stop fighting Lukey because both your shoulders pop out, some people would have been celebrating that.
Some people might have been, yeah. We'd also been led to believe that Lukey, bit of corporate fighter in his soul, in his blood. So I'm not surprised that he won. But for those out there that got Lukey at $2.10, you'd be absolutely cheering.
Yeah, you would. Because he came in to like $1.80, maybe $60. We had nothing to do with that. Next, we had Tommy and Klutz. Tommy, alpha bloke. Klutz, bloody brilliant.
Klutz is... Tommy won the fight, and he started much better. But Klutz wouldn't fucking go anywhere. He would just charge around the ring with crazy eyes. He got crazy eyes maybe five times.
He also probably had 50 kilos on Tommy.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And Tommy, the smaller man in height and in weight, basically just had to keep going to the guts, of which there was a target there to hit. It was hard to get him in the fucking mush. Klutz guts is what you had to go for. Close fight, though. Good fight. Close fight, good fight. Tommy won. Again, the crowd going absolutely mental. Like, that was very cool to see. Just how fucking psychotic the crowd were for their boys.
Absolutely foaming at the mouth when Tommy got the win. And, again, if you had a four-leg multi on and you had Tom as your third leg...
to beat Klutz...
you'd be frothing at the mouth. Maybe also there was punters out there that stood Tommy out.
Mm. At $1.50.
And at $1.50, but nothing crazy, but thought to themselves...
Well, you see $1.50 and...
you may as well take $1.50. and run with it is what we heard people were doing.
Yep.
But now you're 3 from 4.
You've got one to go.
I heard blokes whose multis, four leg multis, were paying $7.58 with Jarchi to go.
Jarchi v. Groper.
There was folks out there apparently that had shitloads on that on that multi.
I heard that the betting agency in question were legitimately like going to fold if the next fight went a certain way.
We heard that traders might have been hung, drawn, and quartered if the fourth leg of the multi got up.
And that's so let's get to that fourth leg. And this one had nothing to do. This is the multi that we'd heard people were doing, by the way. I just want to reiterate that. Jarch v. Groper. Jarch, we mean well. Groper, the Reggie's podcast. Now, a couple of things. Initially, we'd heard Groper was a fucking giant. And that
we heard he was 6'5" and he weighed like 130 kilos.
Then we saw a tale of the tape somewhere that said he was like
186.
So like a centimetre taller than Jarch. And we're like, oh, okay, we've been fucking hoodwinked. Then we saw the weigh-ins after Jarch threw out the old hello comment. And they faced off and you're like, oh, fuck, this guy is huge and has lost a heap of weight. He is looking very athletic.
He looks really incredible. He was big. He was lean.
Had a cool haircut.
He was rangy.
It was like this nice shaved fade. I'm like, oh, this guy looks like he could be a fucking model, let alone a boxer.
And looked fucking athletic.
Very athletic. Now, apparently when they were facing off, he leant in to Jack Edward Archdale and was like, get ready for 6 minutes in hell, cunt. Now, Jarch didn't relay that to us in any way of, like, fear. He just goes, oh, yeah, it was funny, we were talking shit, and that's it. Whereas when I heard that, I went, that sounds fucking terrifying to me.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
But that doesn't matter. This is the fourth leg. He gets to the fourth leg.
I know. But given that Jarch had been telling us that Groper was doughy,
yep.
I was surprised to see no dough on
him. No, there was no dough.
You know, when you've been told that the man's all dough, like exclusively dough, like a dough boy.
Yeah.
When you don't see any dough on the man,
you start to wonder where'd all the dough go.
Well, you start to think to yourself, this could go a little differently than expected. Mm.
Also, I believe I wasn't betting on it, so I'm not entirely sure, but Groper was he at $2?
I think you could get Groper at 210, 220 maybe.
Which wouldn't have hurt a four-leg multi if you had it in there.
There were nervous punters in the crowds, what we heard.
Yep.
When Groper of absolutely no dough fame.
No dough. In fact, just a statuesque athlete who also caught the attention of some official wives of the podcast because he was hot.
He may have done, yes.
Yes.
So Jarchi walks out. I will say this. The crowd, I think, had been looking forward to this fight almost the most.
Yes.
It seemed to be, even though it was the co-main, it seemed to be the culmination of the night in some ways.
The people's main.
It was the people's main. It was extremely tense in there. There was a lot of apprehension. I don't think anyone knew particularly who was going to win. And it just hung in the air in a fucking mad way.
Pro-Jarch crowd, I felt.
Definitely.
There at one point, Jarchi was ringing out throughout the whole thing. I was like, this is
Jarchi, Jarchi.
Like proper cool.
Jarchi looked nervous. I would say the more nervous of the two.
Well, it's hard to know because we know Jarch. But Jarch didn't rock up. All the fighters rocked up at the same time. Like, they all got a bus there and shit. Jarch didn't rock up till very late. One point, Groper goes, where the fuck's your boy? We hadn't really probably met Groper yet. And we were like, I don't know, Groper, Jesus Christ, dude. He's so fucking hot.
I think someone even said, if you let him out of his gimp cage. Yeah. I was like, wow. Wow. Hey,
we're just here to commentate.
Whoa. We're impartial.
We are impartial.
We're impartial. It's not like we've got a shitload of money on him to win.
This is way, whoa.
And to get our multi up. Whoa, like, that's Groper. Not the case. At all. Like, we don't
come
care.
Say g'day, nice to meet ya.
Where the fuck's your boy?
Whoa.
We're impartial. We are commentating tonight. We would never.
be wanting anyone to win over someone else. That would affect our ability to call this thing down the line.
Which is what we do. Real Den and Kemp stuff.
Yeah.
Down the fucking line.
On the fence.
Sibian style.
Motherfucker. I was having a sip of me good day. Spat it everywhere. Lucky I'm not wearing white.
So, bell goes. Maybe there wasn't even a bell.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know. Was there a bell? Well, I don't think so.
Fucked if I know, mate.
And they're into it. Jarch is sort of...
It's a hard one to call when it's your friend.
Yeah.
Even though we are down the line, guys. But
Sibian
like
style.
Yeah, that's our tagline for commentary. The Sibians of commentary. It's just hard to even say anything because all I want to do is just watch silently and I'm like, you know, you just move your head like you're not even a fucking fighter. You're just like, oh, what the fuck's going on? Heart's racing. You're like, Jesus Christ, come on, Jarchi. And nothing to do with any bets, like just because you want your mate to win.
Yep.
If
you had money on a four-leg multi-pay and a juicy pay, you might have – there might be a little bit more incentive to
There'd be probably some of the butterflies would be there. Like if you have a pie chart of 100% of the butterflies you're feeling.
At least 20 butterflies.
20% maybe butterflies for a bet if you had one on. Maybe 40, 50. I don't know. But like, you know, it wouldn't be the moat. Maybe just a tick under 50.
50, 51, 49, yeah, something like that.
Whatever, I don't know.
You know, it wouldn't be the majority of the butterflies, but it'd certainly be quite a few of them.
Anyway, first round, they're 2-minute rounds.
3-2s they were doing. And that was the plan anyway.
That's the plan for every fight is the most rounds you can have is 3 of them and that's 2 minutes a round.
Except for the tag teams. And the lingerie, which is 2-1s.
And even then that
3-1s
was potentially much too long. They both looked good though, like early, you know, there was Jarch was good at evading all these fucking punches. He got a couple away. Groper got a couple away.
The skill set of these two men compared to previous fights we'd seen that night seemed to be elevated.
Yeah. And not so much that they were so good that they couldn't land on each other because they were, but like, you could land punches, the punches looked good, but then they could also get away from each other. Anyway, I reckon punters and dribblers. At some point, Jarchi landed a left hook, maybe, assuming Jarchi's a fucking
I think it was a left.
Who cares? Let's say a left hook for the point of this thing.
He landed one. He landed a big shot.
The crowd starts chanting Jarchi, and I think that the kid got a little excited.
I think he might have started to waft a couple up. A
couple of farts wafting up to nose. His two trainers, Josh of Jeff Athletic fame.
Screaming, composure!
And Hugo, composure! That's the only thing, like, just composure. Anyway,
because they heard, because they saw him land and then they saw the chants go up.
And the farts start to get wafting.
And you don't want to see your fighter starting to waft his own fluffs that early in a fight.
Yeah. But
waft, that's what they saw.
Waft they did, and they saw the waft. As Jarch comes in for another big fucking haymaker, Groper of Catwalk Ready fame just comes in with a straight right and
just sort of like puts his whole fucking body into it. Boom.
All 6'5". You can see the still on the screen now, if you're on YouTube, of the connecting punch where our dear friend, Jack Edward Archdale.
A dear friend.
A close friend gets absolutely melted. And with it, any four-leg multis.
Yeah, he got dropped like a sack of shit. And we're going to watch it now. Probably worth just getting up one more time.
Let me just get the volume on
here. There's no volume on this video.
Okay.
But it's just a slow
look at Groper. Groper.
Look at the size of the cut. Boom! Oh! And then as he goes down.
There goes the shoulder.
The Archdale shoulder pops out. Dear. Which. Oh!
Fucking hell.
And we were just like, I mean, I'd listen back to that. That's the only thing I'd listen back to. We were like, no.
Jesus.
Bang. Oh, no.
It was the biggest shot of the night.
Oh, fucking
by some margin.
Now,
I tell you what, the breadcrumb was Judge doesn't have a chin because he literally doesn't have
one. He doesn't have a chin, and the chin got found and deleted. Now,
one of the great stills there.
Yeah, that is. Shout out to Baz.
See, Groper looks good there. Look how big and long he is.
Yeah, of course he does. Look at that punch, dude. Full extension. Jarch's face absolutely fucked. You can see the referee in the background. They're no longer hard, which is good. but he falls to the ground unconscious. He has...
Or barely conscious.
Well, barely conscious. Not necessarily with all of his faculties.
Although he did say to us afterwards that he woke up on the ring. Canvas. Oh, he woke up on the canvas.
He woke up on the canvas, came to.
Goes, oh, fuck.
My shoulder's out.
And then, oh, fuck, my shoulder's out. And then apparently said to himself, I've fucked... some punters' multis.
Yeah, he basically was like, if anyone had us in a multi, I fucked it. But not thinking of us.
No, he wasn't thinking
about
his good mates, Tom and Eddie, who definitely didn't have a lot of money riding on the fourth and final leg of the multi.
No.
That wasn't us.
No.
But he did remark to himself, the third thought he had was that he'd fucked multis.
Yes. Look, he also... is of the belief that had his shoulder not popped out, that he would have been able to get back up and keep going, which, far be it from you or I don't know, because we weren't there.
I would be surprised, is what I would say to that.
Yeah.
The connection was so pure, his head so rattled, as evidenced by the footage.
You want to talk
footage?
About fucking I'm spinning around. That's what his head was doing.
Yeah. Well, his brain inside his skull, which is just reality.
Well, that's
right?
What happened.
We can't sugarcoat it. It's what happened. I was actually quietly stoked that his shoulder came out so that he didn't have to
get up and try and go again. And
I do fear that he would have got more of the same.
Well, fully captain snoozed.
Which wouldn't have been nice for us. It wouldn't have been nice for Feff, the poor thing.
No, I know. His wife or fiance
wasn't
there. Like,
was not loving what she was seeing. Obviously, was fairly rattled by the experience. So I think it was good for everyone. The shoulder came out.
Except for Jarge. Well, it was good for Jarge. But, you know, he's not. He's obviously not stoked. But... listen, dude, like, it's the thing, again, you or I will never have that feeling, either good or bad, because there's not a chance I'm getting in the fucking ring.
Mate, but huge fucking respect from getting in there. Groper's a massive man, huge reach, looked incredible nick. So Jarge getting in there and having a crack, like, it's brave stuff. Yeah. He's a warrior for doing so. Was it the result he was looking for? Absolutely not. Was it the result the punters were looking for? Absolutely not. Was it the result a bookie was looking for? Yes, it was, because otherwise they're going to bleed and bleed big time.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
proud of him for getting in there.
Proud of him for getting in there. Love him for getting in there and having a dig. But unfortunately, there is now footage getting around of him getting absolutely fucking KO in front of 3,500 rum drinkers.
And
that's not going to change.
No, it won't. A couple of his like schoolmates who we've become friends with through knowing him, but like they've got their own sort of like chat group, and we've got another chat group he's in. Our one was a bit more like, fuck, dude, sorry, Jarchi, like proud of you, mate. Da-da-da. And then in the other one, the first message that came through was from like Skullsy or some shit, and it was just like, oh, so Jarch can't fucking fuck. Just completely roasting him. Well, then this photo that you're seeing here is a still, which was Baz, who was in the crowd filming it. And then, like, almost as soon as it happened, just zoomed in and took the, like, finishing sequence, these three screenshots, and then was showing us in the casino. And then we were laughing at it, and he's going, oi, oi, who am I? Who am I? He's got pulling Judge. He's, like, knockout face. Who am I?
Oh, God.
But poor old Judge, he was flat as a goddamn tack. I don't mean on the canvas, which is also true, just more like...
His demeanor afterwards. His demeanor afterwards. Yeah, he was off it.
Yeah.
And then we were laughing, Tom and I, about how, you know, when you first wake up in the morning and you've forgotten everything about the night before and you're just nice and peaceful, but then it all comes rushing back. We asked him about that. We're like, how was your wake up this morning? He goes, dude, I was laying there so peaceful, like so nice. And then wake up and just go, fuck. Fuck. Oh, fuck. And then apparently just stood in the shower and let the water rush over his head, just going, fuck. Oh, fuck.
So good. And then he's sitting there. He went and had like a sad slap at the casino. We were calling him Blackjack because he was Devo. But he won like 1500 and he comes out at the breakfast and he goes, yeah, you know, it's not all bad. Check all this. And he brings out all this cash. I'm like, oh, do you have money on Groper, you fucking dog? he goes, oh, you know what the worst fucking bit about this is? He said, I'm going to cop this for the rest of my life. And I'm like, yep. Yeah, you are. But he's handling it well. It's all you can do, right? Like, fuck, it's all a bit of fun.
Rematch on the cards?
I don't think so.
Well, he said in his post he's never doing it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
His shoulders are fucked, and they weren't even taped.
Yeah. We knew his shoulder was fucked coming in. He needs a, like, and that's not why he lost, but he needs a Rico, and he just never gets it done. And then we were like, he was like, oh, I'm getting it strapped. I'm getting it strapped for the fight. Then we're in the sheds with him afterwards, like going, why didn't you get it strapped? He goes, oh, there's no one here to do it. I'm like, sheesh, it's maybe something you think about planning, don't you? Ahead of time. Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, great night of fights.
Shout out to the dribblers that are up there.
Yeah.
Great to see you.
Great to meet you all.
Well done to Cam. Well done to Tommy.
And the whole fucking Alpha blokes. Yeah, Alpha Events. It was good fun. It was good fucking fun.
Good for the soul.
Good for the soul. Now we're back. We're into it. Breaking news. I'm off to Fiji for 10 days tomorrow as well. Just absolutely stiff as a board for it. Couldn't come at a better time. Our car doesn't start. They got the keys up there. It doesn't start.
Really?
No. Nah.
So that's why they left it there.
Yeah.
Where they said.
Yeah. Because they were like, nine times out of 10, they burned these fuckers out. So they were like, the fact that it was left in a really weird spot. So we wait and see. I'm driving me electric fucking Hyundai, which is lovely.
So if it doesn't start, maybe it's time to
say goodbye, which is fine. But Evie fucking gave it a name just before we got it stolen. So now she's like, where's CC Bella? I'm like, can we stop calling the fucking car a name for a second here? I don't know where it is.
No, that's upsetting. But so Tommy away for 10 days.
Jarchi will be on.
Jarchi will be on, I think, on Thursday.
The excuse tour,
which will be good. you'll be able to hear him come up with a couple of excuses on Thursday.
Yeah,
or maybe he'll just
he'll just fucking. I mean, he hasn't been making excuses to us, but it's funnier if he does.
So that'll be fun.
You won't let him get away with that, will you?
No.
Will you just be like, mate, you got fucking knocked?
Well, I mean, there's footage, Tom. So. You know.
Can you have that loaded up? And if he just starts like making excuses, just like hit play and just have it start playing in front of him. But have the audio one if you can.
Yeah, I'll find it.
But yeah, Fiji's come at a very nice time. That's for damn sure.
Good for you.
I'm going to do some aqua aerobics over there if they do it in honor bloody of our oath. Friend toddler over here.
I have to.
Yeah.
They will.
Surely.
I just want to catch a big fucking fish. That's what I want to do.
That's got nothing to do with aqua aerobics.
Oh, I know, but that's what I'm really most looking forward to. Big tropical fucking monster. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you want to catch a fish so badly?
Dude, it's fun as fuck. Have you done it?
Caught a fish.
No, but like the big motherfuckers. The big ones. Like you can go fucking throw a line in, but when you go with people who know what they're doing.
Oh, you're going to go out?
Yeah, I'm not going to stand on the beach and
That's what I thought you were saying. Like, Jesus, dude. Bro.
No. You go on like those, the charter boats, and they take you in like in between islands and shit, and you go and catch big fish.
Right, okay, that's what you mean.
You know what else I'm annoyed at? Now, we aren't capable of doing it, but like the island we're staying at is like right near Cloudbreak, and so you can go out there and surf. And I'm like, geez, it'd be nice to be able to go out there and do that. Wouldn't that be fucking cool?
Yeah, it'd be nice. If you could surf.
If you could surf.
Yeah.
Can't.
No. You've never got up.
I can't even get up.
You've never got up on a wave.
Imagine going there and just laying on a surfboard and just getting boogie board it.
And just getting your head driven into the fucking reef. Oh, God. How'd it end? He went out at a pumping cloud break. He never surfed in his life.
Yeah, he just peaked and didn't stand up. And actually, his head is just, he's got coral wedged into his skull. We couldn't get him off the reef.
He's just down there. Yeah. He's like a marker.
Yeah. We actually just tied a boy to him.
Stay care of the big fella down there.
Yeah, that's dark. Punters and dribblers, we are doing the fucking marathon team again.
We're back.
Boys are back. Breaking records for last year's Sydney Marathon. They got your boys back. The Goers Run Club is back. The Good Day Goers Run Club now.
Yeah, we found a sponsor.
Yeah, shout out to Good Day Multivitamins.
Yeah, apparently, like they reckon if you go to bigwoodhealth.com.au, you can buy some there. It's the best multivitamin in the game. That's what they're saying.
That's what they're
saying. And it's going to be fueling the goers this year.
That's right.
The Hello Sport Good Day.
Well, not Hello Sport. No. Just the Good Day Goers Run
Club.
You're right. You're not doing the Hello Sport Good Day Goers Run Club.
No, you're right.
Shane Keith Productions, Hello Sport Good Day Goers Run Club, Sydney Marathon.
Correct. But we're back bigger and better than ever. The Sydney Marathon this year is selling quickly. So if you want to get a fucking ticket, I'd be buying one right now, as in as soon as you hear this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's already 80% sold out, which means that you've got to move quick if you want to be part of the Good Day Goers. We'll be doing another run club this year.
Yep.
We've got 10 grand to spend at the Ivy for the after party. If you came last year, you'll know we ripped the fuck in.
Yeah. Well, we and then topped it up.
You and I, yeah, but we were feeling generous.
No, we were
feeling like this is absolutely what we need to do.
Yeah.
Is to support our...
Well, because the dribblers earned it.
Our goers. We need to support our goers.
The goers earned it. So we got 10 Gs at the Ivy for an after party to properly rip the fuck in. And listen, the turnout was amazing last year. The marathon is a test of what you're fucking capable of. And we're just pumped to get back out there.
Seriously, there's no...
And by get out there, I mean we're not running. We are coaches again.
We are coaches again. But the feeling you get, the air of superiority that you have for the rest of your life, knowing that you've run a marathon and 98% of the population haven't, you can just go around shitting on people, essentially.
Wouldn't mind seeing a few more driblets, if I can be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a few more driblets.
Just nice to get out there, maybe a couple of, like some couples.
Some couple run stuff.
Convince your misso.
Dribblers and dribblets. I think that's nice, Tom. I think that's a nice touch. Mm. Get out there, run with your lady. Show them what it's all about.
Or to the dribblets out there, get out there, run with your man. Or if you're a single dribblet, and there was a few there that were there that we got to meet last year, but just get out there and come for a run.
Got it on good authority, Tom. Got it on good authority that this year's course, the best ever.
They've reworked it a bit.
Oh, they've given it one of the great workings over. Mm. One of the great workings over. Less like up and back. I think less
Centennial Park
pain. I think that Piermont's been given the fucking ass altogether.
A full arsing.
And I was never a big fan of the Piermont section, Tom. Obviously, that's where you and I were put through pain in its entirety.
They're still going through Piermont. Looking at the map now. But you're going all the way down to Kingsford.
Yes.
And then back and only one loop through Centennial Park on there your way back.
So you're going all the way down to Kingsford, that Anzac Parade?
Yep. And then U-turn.
I think that's good. Yeah. Anzac Parade's flat. It's easy.
And straight. You can get a bit of trot.
That's good.
On. Centennial Park, those loops last year were just the hurt locker.
So just one lap of Centennial.
Just one little cheeky
lap. How much Piermont is there?
Not too much. It looks like the same as last
year. Listen, at the end of the day, it's all fucked. And there'll be a new thing on the course that'll be fucked. That's just the thing. It's always fucked. It's just that there's like something that is going to be harder than the rest.
No half marathon this year. It's just the fully, the big bad boy.
Yeah.
So step the fuck up. If you did the half last year, it's time to step up.
It's time to go.
It's time to step up and deliver. Even Tobler did it. So it's not that hard.
No.
Seriously.
Tommy Tobler did it.
And sprinted to the end and beat Tom.
And beat me. Now, technically, I didn't train. That's my excuse that I'm going to hang my hat on. Didn't train. Heavily
Tobler
compromised.
Tobler did beat you,
because he trained.
And he was in the nick of his life.
That's it.
Like, it really turned you around last year.
Seriously.
You went from big, fat, roly-poly to in great nick.
Great nick. And now, obviously, he's back to president of the Tobler Boob Club. But, like...
Still recruiting members, by the way.
Still recruiting members?
Still recruiting members.
To the top of the
boot. But no, but like that was a fuck. That was a good experience for you last year.
Oh, right? It was elite. It was awesome. And it was like a fucking hot day. It was like 35 degrees.
It was so hot.
But the euphoria after, I was riding that high for weeks.
Loving months. It?
I think I still am a little bit.
Oh, you ride for a couple of years. Don't worry about that. You ride it into the ground.
100%.
I'm still riding mine.
Now, where do they go to sign up, Ed?
Head to citymarathon.com to sign up. Use the code Dribblers for 10% off. That's our gift to you. And join the Good Day Goers Run Club. If you've already joined the marathon, or already signed up, rather, and you want to join a real team, then I'd suggest that you flick off the one you're in currently and come to the Good Day Goers Run Club, because that's where you'll be getting $10,000 at the bar tab at the Ivy. You'll also be getting a Good Day Goers Run Club shirt to run in, like a singlet, a running singlet. And it's going to be fucking awesome. And it's going to be something that you're going to want to be in. You're going to want to be able to see your fellow Good Day Goers out there on the course. You want to be part of the community. And also, we will be doing a run club at some point. SydneyMarathon.com. Get in while the getting's good, because it will sell out, and I'm being told it'll sell out within the next month. So I'd be signing the fuck up now.
Yeah, this is one of those things. It's becoming like a must attend, must be involved in event on the calendar.
We're going to put a link in our bio. If you click on that, it'll add you to our team automatically during the sign up process. So a little bit more seamless for the punter and the dribbler.
There you go. Seamless.
Reminder, code Dribblers. All uppercase, code Dribblers, all uppercase.
So all capitals.
All capitals. Uppercase?
Yeah. And what does that get them?
10%
off. 10%
off.
See you there. See you on the tarmac?
See you on the road.
On the road. What's a tarmac?
I think
planes land and shit?
Land, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I will be on the tarmac tomorrow, 8 a.m., 8:40, flying to Fiji. Not a big deal.
Good for you, buddy.
All right, punters. Okay. Okay. At around 2 a.m. Sunday morning, Saturday night into Sunday morning, your two podcast hosts here lick it up at a casino dining room.
Enjoying a meat lover's pizza. Mm-hmm. Salt and pepper squid, two large chips with gravy. We're perusing their phones.
Not to forget also a couple of stubbies of Vicky Bits.
Yeah, there was two stubbies of Vicky Bits, yep. Decided to get on our phones, check what was happening in punters and dribblers. More so just to see if there was any chatter around Jack Edward Archdale's knockout. What I didn't expect to find on there, Tom, was a video of one Paul Kent.
Paul Kenty Kent.
Out the front of Toddy's in Roselle, I believe. Mm. Screaming at a punter out the front.
Yeah.
They've got a war of words going on.
I can't, it's hard to tell with the audio. Kenty seemed like maybe he'd had a couple, but again, I don't want to presume.
We can't presume, Tom, because we weren't there.
No.
But I've been around men that have had a couple before, and in doing so, you start to get a bit of a feel for things.
You can understand the language a little bit.
You can. You can start to get a real feel for things. And it seems, in my opinion, and this doesn't mean it's correct, but in my opinion, Kenty looks like he's had a gutful.
Yep, a rugby league skinful.
An absolute rugby league skinful.
Now, no idea how this fracas, this melee, this brouhaha came to be. We don't know whether the gentleman in question, who started it, you know what I mean? Who started this thing?
We don't know who
started it. All we can go off is a video footage that we have that's come across our desk and that is now across everyone's desk. And it looked like Kenty was fucking foaming for a scrap. They were trying to hold him back. He's taking his watch off. He's fucking saying, I'm standing right here. He called him a doghead at one point, which, listen, not the best diss I've ever heard.
He called him a dog and a dog head.
Yes.
I think Kenty's probably better than dog head. I think.
Mate, he's a journalist. He's got away with words. He should be better than dog head.
Well, that's what I mean. I think if he's reviewing the footage, we'll get to the tree system and the root system.
Yeah, but well, exactly.
I'd be disappointed with Doghead.
Yeah.
Given that he is a journo and he is in the media.
Maybe that speaks to some inebriation. Again, if we're not lawyers in court here, we're reviewing tape.
But if I was a lawyer in a court, I'd say, well, he said Doghead, so he must have had a couple.
Should we review the tape then before we get into the root system? I wouldn't mind watching it one more time.
Happy to watch it again.
It's been a while. And by a while, I mean maybe like a day.
All right. He sounds like he's had a few. You're weak cunt. Kenny's calling him over.
Doghead. This guy's walking forward towards Kenny as well. Both men look willing.
Everyone's trying to keep Kenny back. Kenny gets the watch off into the pocket.
Here we go.
And marches at him.
Oh, punch is thrown. Kenny's got the hands up. Oh, tackles. Root system. Pause it. Can we freeze the tape right there? Can you take it back, please, as we get him paused into the tree root system? He becomes one.
He gets ragdolled into the system.
Oh, there we
go.
There we go.
Look at that. That man's 56. He's got the gut out, and he's just become part of a root system.
He's been completely dumped on his head. I'd say what, a tackle like that would get you suspended in rugby league. That's a 12-weeker.
Why?
Spike Kenny onto his head.
Well, he's just thrown him at the ground.
Well, listen, it was a dangerous tackle. That's all I'm going to say. Now, maybe Kenty played a part in it. Maybe you'd be able to get that other fella off in a court of law at a rugby league judiciary. You get Nick Gabar, one of the high-powered lawyers who can fucking, who's seen a few, you know?
Yeah, maybe he gets a couple of weeks for the tackle. But, you know, Kenny goes looking for it. Obviously.
Kenty's looking for it. You're not what you once were at 56.
No. Yeah. It's probably an interesting moment here. You'd have to imagine if you're Paul Ken. I mean, if I can take the night for a walk, he's probably gone out with great intentions. Maybe he's gone in for a feed. He's probably had a couple of beers. A brouhaha, an altercation has commenced, and he's ended the night becoming one with a Roselle tree root system.
Yeah.
Like, when he left his house,
he was just a man.
He was just a man, and now he's a root.
He's a Roselle root.
Look at him. The night would have started with such promise.
Yeah. Pregnant with promise.
Pregnant with promise, Tom. And now he's a Roselle root. And look in the part, too.
Oh, man, he looks like a tree root there. If you did like some, if we got Cody Totes to put a bit of moss on the skin, you know what I mean?
Just coloured him up.
Just
right.
Coloured him a little bit with some moss. Mm. That's a Roselle tree root right there.
Probably gets winded off that, I would have thought. The gut takes an absolute pounding.
Yeah, that's it. It's like
his
a
shirt's
real,
almost come off.
His shirt's almost off. He's upside down here. And then the man who throws him, who again, I don't know, he's been charged, is that what?
Yeah.
Kenty not charged?
Not so far, but the investigation is still ongoing. The guy was charged with a fray, which is like creating a public disturbance and a fight, etc.
Right.
So that's probably, you would imagine Kenty's accusing him of having started it. And we don't see the start of the video, so we don't know.
The unfortunate thing that Kenty has, other than the fact that he is now one with a Roselle tree,
is now that he's a root.
He's
hard to commentate when you're a root.
Well, it's hard, and you've seen in the memes, which we'll also have a look at, the subsequent memes after this fracas, he's very forthright with his critiques of rugby league players and their behaviours off the field. And rightly or wrongly, whether he started or not, he allegedly looks like he is full to the brim on fucking, you know, fighting juice. If I'm taking, how would Kenty critique the fucking, what he's just seen, if it was someone else?
He would, well, it's
you
funny.
You need to be better than that. You can't fucking fight. You know, you need to walk away.
There was videos that people put up where they'd taken him talking about other players and then overlaid it with his own footage. And the things that he will always say is, shouldn't be drinking that much. You've got to walk away. You've got to be the bigger man, etc., etc.
People are going to try and do this shit.
Exactly. At no point has Kenty ever sat there and gone, you know what? Maybe the player was getting a heap of shit.
Mm.
It's never that. It's you're overpaid or you're highly paid. You should have walked away. If you can't handle the heat, stay at home. You've drunk too much, blah, 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 blah.
The thing, and like, Kenty was found innocent with that previous thing, right? So he has every right to go out and live his life. After what was, you know, he was found completely innocent of all that bullshit. You do wonder, though, like, whether you just want to kind of keep your head down a little. Like, now, again, maybe he didn't, maybe he was keeping his head down. His head literally down right now inside of a tree. But just like, you know, like going out there and getting fucked up at a pub. And people, it seems, we get sent, the amount of videos we get sent across our desk of Kenty getting fucking
heckled,
chirped and heckled, which is obviously like not right. No one should, like, it would suck to have that happen. But I don't know. I mean, you don't want to say, hey, just change your lifestyle because people are going to talk shit to you. You have every right to go and live it. But like, especially after this happened, man, like, I don't know.
The reality is it does happen. People do chirp him. And I'm not saying that that's right, but it is a fact of his life. So if you're going to go out, you have to just cop it, I think. I don't think you can be out there.
You have to be able. You have to be able to walk away. You basically have to be able to go like, yeah, okay, this is, well, this is part of it now. Like it's the unpleasant byproduct of being you.
It is what it is. Mm. Fighting people on the street's not going to make it any better.
No. Well,
in fact, now you're a root.
Now you're a tree root. Do we have any memes?
Can you even answer the blower when you're a root?
Well, like, is he able to move?
Or is he still... Has anyone checked if he's still there?
I have heard some calls to have that thing, have a plaque put into the tree.
Oh, it needs to be plaqued up. Without damaging the tree, because we're prone violent.
Well, absolutely. But, like, sure, you can just drill a couple of fucking...
Or just hammer it in.
That's what I mean. Like, just...
Some little screws.
Do we want to be the people to do that?
No.
Not us, actually. I'm like calling a dribbler to do it.
I'm not doing it.
No. We've never put a plaque up anyway. The dribbler does it.
Correct.
But I just, like, calling on all dribblers, plaque made into that tree, let's commemorate fucking one of the great biffs.
It needs to happen. It must.
This is a fantastic rugby league scandal. Can't hear a thing, Tobler.
That's all right. I'll drag it back. So I think this is one where they've imposed...
Oh, that's better footage. I haven't seen this footage.
Oh, so this is a different angle.
Oh.
Can you go back? I haven't seen this.
Yeah, hang on. I've got that up here.
He's been stood down from everything as well. Dude, that fucking Tiger Woods one is my... That one got me going.
Him shaking hands with the tree?
Yeah, it's like Tiger thanking the tree for fucking up.
Yeah. Let's watch this one. I haven't seen this footage.
Well, I think the whole thing's embarrassing. I think the mellows are embarrassing to the game. I think the NRL's got to sit in there. We got rid of all them brawls once upon a time by getting the third man in off the field. I think we've got to get rid of the melees. This sort of stuff where they all come in, jumper grabbing and that, I don't think that covers anyone in glory.
Hey!
What happens at the end?
So the guy that like flipped him onto the route gets tackled by one of Kenty's mates, and then Kenty gets back up and is like leaning over and screaming at him.
Does Kenty get spiked on the noggin?
Or is it his arms?
Can we just go back and see that?
I think it's his arms.
Oh, it fucking feels like a nog. You got to really slow this down.
See?
Arms, yeah.
Arms.
Okay, it's right. Yeah. And mate, that was actually a bit of fucking gymnast about him there. There was like he was...
He puts his arms out and then gets folded onto the tree.
Yeah.
And becomes a resident.
Where he now rests today.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Look at that, dude. Wrapped around it.
The punters and dribblers is absolutely memed up.
They are fucking smoking it.
It's all it is Kenty memes. It's all it is.
Dude, calling him like Groot, baby Groot from...
Guardians of the Galaxy.
They had Danny Widler interviewing him like Conor McGregor and Rogan.
What's that footage? Is that different footage?
Yeah, let's go. Let's just...
No, this is the one we already watched.
Take it back.
You do stupid things when you've had too many. There was no excuse for what the bloke's half his size.
If he was testosaurusing him, though, if he's all over him...
But you don't whack him with a left...
It wasn't really a whack. Yeah. I get that, Buzz, but it's an isolated incident where it's young, testosterone-fueled men, one of them filled with alcohol, who just had I wouldn't even call it a disagreement. Like...
It's good stuff.
That's good.
People find the funniest shit.
Oh, it's going to be... It'll be interesting on 360 tonight.
They won't talk about it. So we'll see. This is a developing story, obviously, punters and dribblers. We'll have to keep a keen eye on it. See where it
Street
goes.
Street fighter.
But you'd imagine if his mates are there, Tom... They're probably saying that old mate started it.
Yes.
If he's been charged.
It's just interesting, like, I mean, you wonder what happens, right? They're standing him down, but, like, you wonder what... That's my favourite.
That's the best easy.
Yeah, that's the best one. That's such a good one. Paul Kent 14 seconds into a street fight for some reason, and it's just him fully as a tree. One thing I wanted to ask you just before we get going here, did you find the lights at the hotel fucking difficult to get a handle on?
Yep.
What the fuck? Why do you need to try and make it all like, just give me a light switch, dude. Like, what are we talking about? It's like, here, this button here, this does this light, and then this one, like, if you hold it long enough, like, all the lights will turn on, but then if you just do it once, then, like...
Trying too hard.
Me and Steph were like, I can't get a fucking normal light to go here.
Trying too hard.
Trying to get the blinds to open and shit.
Because it was delayed as well. You wouldn't get immediate feedback, so you think you'd done it wrong.
You'd done it wrong, then you press it again, and then you've reversed what you've...
Yep.
It was just do less. Lovely hotel. Do less. You just need to have light switches. This goes, turns this one on, bang.
Lovely hotel, do less.
Do way less.
Lovely hotel, though.
Lovely hotel.
But do way less.
You're doing fucking way too much.
You're trying way too hard.
It's obnoxiously
You should do
try hard.
Way less.
Way, way, way less on those fucking light switches.
And we'll be happy.
And also, you should have branded matches.
Great point. In case you wanted to have a cigarette, if you wanted to have one.
Which we don't.
Correct.
We don't do that. Now, a bit of rugby league, when we talk it, it's thanks to KO. It's thanks to them, and we thank them.
We certainly do, Tom.
So just a quick little one. While we went to dinner Friday night, the Manly game playing, which we will get to, the only way that we would have been able to enjoy a 32-18 humping of the Eels, because our wives booked us dinner at 8 o'clock, which was obviously not ideal, was through KO. We sat at Japanese, and we enjoyed rugby league.
It wasn't ideal, Tom, but you and I realised fairly early on, given their excitement levels, that there was absolutely nothing we could have done about it.
Well, we had KO on our side.
We had to just cop it, and we were able to cop it thanks to our good friends at KO.
Steph was getting angry at me, though, because it was this nice little Japanese restaurant, and I'd had a couple of cocktails on board, and any time something would happen, I was checking out of conversations frequently and just watching the game, and then something happened, I'd go, ah! And Steph would be like, dude, you can't scream like that in this restaurant. I didn't stop because I couldn't help it. But again, KO allows me the ability to do that.
If you don't KO, you're fucked. Simple as that.
This is a bit more for an about even, but I'm not going to be on it because I'm going to be in Fiji. But the Titans beat the Warriors. I called it, and I also called AJ Brimson anytime. That was a rugby league nail biter.
I was at the Anzac Day clash, Roosters, Dragons, so wasn't watching it. Was checking the frequent updates because I too followed AJ Brimson and the Titans. We'd picked up a last
followed,
week.
Followed me.
You followed you.
Yeah, he didn't follow I'd feel followed
me. But we had picked up a couple of weeks ago a trend whereby the last couple of years, teams that hadn't been winning all season had won their first game in round 7. That was last week, but they didn't win. But then we'd realise was a dribbler.
There's some dribbler reached out.
That actually the Titans had a bye. So last week, well, this week against the Warriors was their round 7. There you go. They
can't
get
pass
the dub.
That sort of shit up.
You can't pass that sort of shit up. AJ Brimson at fullback, just a different beast entirely. Titans 27 to beat Warriors 24. Massive win.
Dude.
You would have thought Warriors at home, Anzac Day clash in their own backyard for the first time in a while, if not ever, and they lose to the winless Titans.
The Titans had been looking all right the last few weeks. Gritty. Gritty. But thank Christ that happens. Then you have the Roosters absolutely beat the shit out of the
Dragons. Not see this coming. The Roosters, for mine, had showed absolutely no sign of this performance coming. Angus Crichton, friend of the show, huge.
Huge. Great to see Gussie get up. Was a Lomax away.
60 points.
Yep. Line through Dragons. They suck. We knew that, but they won't come last, but they do suck. There wasn't much to this game. The Roosters just beat the shit out of them.
Mate, the Dragons were
Sam Walker was fucking amazing.
Really, really good. Really, really, really good. Ben Hunt, not his best game of all time. The Dragons just got blown off the fucking rugby league park.
Because that's you see happened. A world where it's like Sam Walker, Ezra Mann for Queensland. Like, that's a pretty hot halves pairing down the track.
Let's not get carried away, mate.
I'm not getting carried away. The fucking you like there. He's probably the next up. You got Tommy Dearden, Sam Walker, fucking Ezra Mam. Like Cherry's 38.
He's been going fucking well, Sam Walker.
Munster's what 31? Is how old's Munster? Is he 30 yet?
No, I don't think so.
If he's not, that's crazy.
He's 29.
29. Fuck.
We heard a rugby league rumour just before that Luke Keary set to retire at the end of the year.
Rumour, it's been reported on literal news pages, telly, oh. And shit. But yeah, shout out to Luke. Good career, 3 prems.
You take that.
Origins.
You take 3 prems.
Yeah, you do. And across Bunnies and South. You break the drought with Bunnies and you get back-to-backs.
That makes you feel good. That's yep. Hot, horny stuff.
And apparently it's got nothing to do with concussions or anything. He's just like, I'm content. I'm 32.
I'm done. Done and dusted.
Done. I get it. I get it. I don't really, but you know what I mean. But yeah, a humping.
Sua Ali'i.
Of course he goes over.
Of course he goes over.
Of course he goes over.
He wouldn't have if we were on him, though.
No, of course not.
You know what I mean? No, Zach Lomax for your Anzac bet.
Yeah, I know. It was annoying. It was annoying. And because Crichton went over in the 16th minute, I'm like,
done.
This is happening.
Yep.
Sorry, you don't need to go back. And then, listen, Bunnies are done. We knew that, but, like, they're done.
50 points. Can't win a comp if you get 50 scored.
But just, like, fucked. Like, I mean, who's Jason Demetrio got to root to get fired, you know?
Well, who's he rooting to keep his job?
It's a better way of saying it.
You know? He's going down on someone.
Yeah, who's he growling out?
They're having another board meeting tomorrow morning where they think, where Buzz Rothfield thinks that they'll make a call. Because they got Penrith this Saturday, so like
they
this
suck.
Weekend.
They suck.
It's not gonna change.
They're awful. A really, really, really rank rugby league side. And you're going, well, what are you doing about, mate? You are, though. You fucking shit ass. You're coming dead last. You suck. You're getting humped by everyone. You've had 50 points put on you, so you can't win the comp. Not that you could anyway, but you officially can't.
I'm going to send you a video here. This was on Instagram after the game, and I fucking loved it. Shout out to, what's his name, Random South Guy on Instagram. he put this story up, and when he put the story up, he's like, "Should I airdrop it to you, Tobler?"
Yeah, it's my lappy.
He puts it up on his Instagram, and he's like, "Oh, I don't put shit on Instagram very often. I think it's just more of a meme page, I guess." This video went up, and I was giggling. I was a little schoolgirl. It was funny stuff. I sent a message going, "Bro, that was fucking hilarious." And he didn't know why. He was like, you know, sort of like, "What are you?" And I'm like, "Well, like, it's perfect, right? If you're a South fan, you're agreeing with everything you're saying. Mm. And if you're just a fan of the game of rugby league and you got a different team, you're like, suck shit, mate. Suck shit.
Suck it."
I don't normally record myself, so bear with me here. But 50 points, like, come on, man. That, now it's a joke. Like, straight out, it's a joke. It's not all the coach's fault. Like, these players are just as bad. He's making the selections, but these players are just as bad. Honestly, bro. Half these players are not good enough. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Half these players aren't good enough. This is like 2006. We've won 1 in 7, bro. How is this still allowed to happen? How am I going to wake up tomorrow and see that this coach is still at the club and half these players are still there? Like, seriously, man. This is a joke, bro. 50 points. We just lead 50 fucking points, bro. We've won 1 in 7. 1 in fucking 7, bro. 1 in 7. We were predicted to at least make the 8. Bro, the way we're going, cuz, we're going to be a wooden spoon. That's embarrassing, man. What the hell? What are we doing, bro? What are we doing? Honestly, bro, is it going to be all roses on Monday? We're going to give him another chance, or it's all good? Settle it. Come on, man. What are we doing, bro? What are we doing, bro? What are we doing as a club? Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing, bro? What are we doing?
How many times do you reckon he said, "What are we doing" at the end there?
What are we doing? Where are we going as a club? 1 in 7.
What are we doing? What are we doing? It was fucking good stuff. I was pissing myself watching that.
It's good stuff.
That was fantastic. Shout out to him.
But he's absolutely
No, he's absolutely right. Random South guy on Instagram.
What are they doing? Tuesday board meeting. I think that needed to happen last Friday.
Oh, can I just say as well, I need to officially shout out close personal friend, Justin the Scope Horror, for his wingers all score in Melbourne theory. It's not a theory. It's an exact motherfucking science. It's true. It's so true that Tyron Wishart even scored on the wing. Coates and the Brick both go over. Fucking Jacob Gagai goes over. We just waited on a Tane Milne of loses his head when things aren't going his way fame. He gets over. 20s, that was paying. 22s, I think. Just, I was messaging him and all, like, just back and forth, being like, "Cunt, you're a fucking absolute psychopath. How the fuck?" And then it was just like, we just need a Tane. Once we got a Tane at 57 minute, it's like, beat your dick stuff.
Did you load up?
I loaded up as much as I was prepared to load up on something that was a theory. Now that I know it's a science, I approach it with a little more gusto. Manly win. Listen, like, we just win. I don't really know.
This is what we gleaned from the game. Manly win.
Mm. And win well.
Manly at home, another sellout at Four Pines. Brookie Oval, however you'd like to refer to it. We go out there and we get the job done and we put 2 points in our back pocket and fuck off.
Yeah.
Was it the most polished performance of all time? No.
No.
It wasn't. Was it a little bit tight for my liking until late in the game when we blew the lid off them?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But 32-18, you can't argue with. You can't deny the quality.
We just need to – listen, defense still an issue. Defense still.
But we said, Tom, you can fix it up. You can fix up defense. If you can't score points, you're fucked.
Correct.
It's as simple as that. Now, Manly, I just want to check something. Yeah, fourth. I thought so.
Are we in the top four?
We're fourth.
Oh, we're entrenched, dude. Fuck.
Cronulla, 14 points. They're going all right, but they suck. Melbourne, whatever. Penrith, sure.
How many
Manly
points are they on?
14, Cronulla, 14, Melbourne, 12, Penrith, 11, Manly. So we should be on equal points with Penrith, but we have a better points differential than them, so we should be third, technically.
And you could argue that we should be on 14 because we should have beaten the Eels, and we drew with the Warriors. So, like...
Well, that's what I'm saying, the draw...
We'd actually be leading the comp.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the draw gets us up to 12th at least.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I mean, 12 points at least.
We should have beaten the Eels, so it'd be equal first.
Equal first. Points differential would have prevented us, but... We should be at least third. That's just at a minimum.
The concern I have right now, Eddie, is fucking just being so entrenched in the top 8.
Well, if you look at it, it's disgusting how entrenched we are. There's just no denying it. Fourth, yeah, that's right, fourth, in front of Brisbane, the Dolphins, Roosters and Canterbury, that's the eight. There's some teams in the fucking bottom eight, man. Cowboys, Canberra, Dragons, Warriors are 12th. A lot of dick-beating going on across the ditch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you might not be much chop. Newcastle 13th, Para 14th. Goodness gracious.
That's about right.
Tigers 15th, Titans 16th, and the Bunnies, listen to this, punters and dribblers. If you're sitting there going, oh, nah, just a couple of things didn't go away. Nah, bullshit. One win, seven play, eight, one from seven. The points differential, minus 136. The Titans is minus 87, and they're second worst. West Tigers, minus 55. Newcastle, minus 25.
Don't die on me, Ed.
Tiggle. And Manly, obviously, plus 39.
Dogs in the top eight. Love that. Love dogs in the top eight.
South Sydney, minus 136. They get the spoon this year. Simple as that.
Dude, if they get the spoon,
they will.
Fucking hell.
Keep Jason there. I'd love to see the Rabbitohs get the spoon.
Yeah.
Just keep him there. When you have your board meeting tomorrow, vote in favour of keeping him around.
Stick around. Keep him going. And we got the Raiders this week. Is that what I'm hearing?
On Friday night at Brookie.
Fucking us.
That's perfect.
Now, we will potentially be without, I think we're definitely without Homolo. They're trying to get us to be without DCE. I don't know what the fuck he had to do with it. I think that's bullshit. I think that's some rugby league bullshit, don't you?
Sanity prevails. Surely.
Let's see here. Sean Lane. 4 minutes gone. No scorers yet here on Friday night. It was a fucking serious tackle.
What's D's got to do with that?
Are they, could D's not holding on to him, like letting go of him, or?
Don't know. People saying should have been DCE. I'm confused. Does he let go of him? Is that what they're saying? It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure there. Anyway, we'll see what the fuck happens. That'd be really shit if we lost both of them. Quickly whip through the other games here, Edward.
Quick whip through, mate.
Well, listen, Panthers beat... Oh, Broncos smashed the fucking Tigers, as is expected, right?
Tell you what, if you triple-staked the Panthers into the Knights, you wouldn't be happy.
No, you wouldn't be happy, mate. You wouldn't be. And the Panthers had it, as in they were doing all right, and then, of course, they just let the fucking Cowboys back in.
Dolphins looked like shit.
They did. Sharkies, though. You want to talk about looking like shit? Raiders. Shark beating them 40-0. Shout out to the 2008 grand final. 40 fucking nil. In Ricky's 500th.
Now, apparently there's a Ricky press conference that we need to have a listen to.
This was the first time the Raiders have been kept to nil since 2013.
Oh. Is that right?
Yeah. It was like the ninth longest ever streak being held to nil.
Wow, that's embarrassing. For the Raiders.
I love Ricky press conferences. I've not watched this. I have no idea what he says. No. But I'm excited anyway.
Shout out to the old logo. Oh, come on.
Ricky, obviously not the result you were looking for. How do you sort of sum up the performance?
Oh, I'll have a look at it again, mate. Pretty hard. Something happened 10 minutes ago.
Is it that hard?
There's too many errors to prove costly.
Too many missed tackles. Yeah, there's a lot of... a very poor football.
Did you say it coming at all during the week?
No. You don't see things like that, can you?
I guess he's still sort of created...
Biting his lip.
Yeah.
When he's pissed off.
He's fucking furious.
Yeah.
Danny one's probably the worst, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, it's... It's one of those games of football where we've quickly got it tomorrow. We've got a very short week, so we've got to try and leave that as quick as we can.
the first club game for Kaio, what did you sort of see from him in the halves?
He didn't get a lot of help. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful to you guys, but it's just not real. I don't really feel like dwelling on much of it at the moment.
Joe, how did you sort of see it from out there?
The game.
How did you see?
Yeah, it was poor.
Look at Ricky, bro. He's fucking ropeable.
Characteristic misses and just didn't turn up. You had a lot to play for today. And
it'd be hard sitting next to Ricky in this sort of mood.
Yeah.
We have to work on over the week to get yourself ready for this game.
I think we've been coached well. Just us as a team group have to. We'll have a chat tomorrow. But yeah, just the attitude and how we're going to approach next week. Obviously, after you've seen what happened today, we can't let that carry on.
I'm
just saying, and our senior boys have to obviously step up way more than we have. Like I said, Porter.
That's a really good question. And I'm not backtracking from the path we've taken with a lot of those younger players. But I didn't expect at this stage of the season having to play so many of them all together. When you have a look at, and this is, please don't see this as an excuse, because those young boys are all good football players. There's some, as I said earlier, poor football performed out there today, but when you've got so many games sitting on the sidelines, so much experience sitting on the sidelines, it just makes the job so much harder to play first grade for those younger players. So they're hurting in there, and I'm hurting for them.
This is sort of, I guess, potentially a good learning experience, obviously not the best way to do it, but going forward.
Oh, mate, you don't want to be learning through those types of games and results. Cronulla were way too good for us tonight.
So you mentioned the experience on the sideline. Is that Elliot sort of a chance?
I think Elliot will be a chance next week. Well, he was probably right to play tonight, but he wouldn't have been able to then back up and play next week. But, you know, I've just got to be patient and keep working with the younger players, because we've got those boys who are injured, they're not back for a number of weeks. We've got 2 to 3 months of this, but I can assure you we'll keep working at it and play better. I felt sorry for we had a good number of fans out there tonight. I felt embarrassed for that performance, but We'll just keep working hard.
Jesus fucking fuming. Just keep working hard, Ricky. Fucking Ricky. Spewing. Can you go to our Instagram? I was just thinking about that when I was watching that. Flano, after the Dragons lost to the Roosters, just get it up and I'll explain it once it's up. So the Dragons are playing the Sharks next week. Dragons have just been beaten 60 to fucking 18 or whatever it is. That's been saved. You just go to our Instagram. We posted it.
Oh.
Down there, Flano, right there. So he's asked about playing the fucking the Sharks next week. Obviously, Flano, an old Shark coach.
Won a comp there.
Next week comes around real quick and we play a team from down the Shire that I'm really interested in beating. Yeah, it's been marked in the calendar for a while.
It's going to be an emotional week for you? Or?
Not an emotional week, no. Won a comp there. I don't think they've won one since, have they?
Yes.
Flatto. Yeah. Not cut about that at all.
No, no, no. Look like you've moved on.
No, you've definitely moved on. Definitely not cut. Definitely not upset about it. Definitely don't hold any grudges.
No.
Definitely don't want to win next week.
Definitely will. Like, definitely want to win, but just like, yeah, you know, you're all good.
Definitely will.
Yeah, you'll definitely
win next week.
The I saw someone comment, like, he's like, yeah, they haven't won a comp since I was there. And it's like, you haven't won one either, bro.
Yeah, it's not like you're running around winning comps everywhere you go, man.
No.
No offense.
No, listen, no offense. He seems like a nice guy. But that was... I just didn't see that really covered many places. In fact, I didn't see it covered anywhere. But that was like the most bitchy comment I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it was bitchy.
Oh, you're so good to me.
You don't know what that is, D-cards.
You watch much porn, Cody?
You a Mr. Heskey guy?
Mr. Heskey. Are you a bit of a Johnny Sins operator?
Who's Mr. Heskey?
You're so good to me.
Oh, Mr. Heskey. Yeah,
Mr. Heskey was
you're so good to me.
Mr. Heskey was that. He's either a character or was he a porn star?
He was a character.
Yeah. There's Johnny Sins, who's someone, I don't know the fucking name. There was Peter North was someone.
That Mr. Heskey gave it to the babysitter.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
Okay.
Memory serves.
Yep. Shout out to Mr. Heskey. Now, if you want to talk about getting some buttons on that thing, let's get a Mr. Heskey is so good to me. You know what I mean? Like you get some of the sounds loaded
up. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get Mr.
Load up Heskey.
Yeah. You're doesn't so actually good right to now, me. But just down the road.
Oh, Mr. Heskey.
Tommy, Eddie, Tobler. Hope we are doing outstanding, gentlemen. Two things for you. Firstly, want to shout out Tobler for his left of field but oddly successful two-up strategy that he shared with us all last week. It paid huge dividends on Thursday, so thank you, Tobler.
Definitely,
Tobler. And secondly, Anzac Day got me and the boys talking as to what is the best day in Australia to be drinking on. For us, we came to the conclusion that it was Anzac Day, but the likes of Australia Day and New Year's Eve did come into consideration. Over to you, gents, for your thoughts. Get him up.
Listen, New Year's way overhyped. Unless you have like something really planned and not where you got to go out somewhere, New Year's fucking overhyped as shit. Australia Day comes with some baggage these days. Not really one that you fucking spend a whole lot of time getting after.
It's it's baggaged up now. As it currently stands, Anzac Day I think's the best.
Yeah,
I tell you why. Everyone's in the fucking mood of their lives. We're honouring the diggers. Two up's the greatest game ever conceived by man.
Yeah,
there's such a vibe. HD lights, not too hot. It's always a bluebell day. At least in Sydney, it has been, or at least where I've been. Historically, not always been in Sydney, obviously, but wherever I seem to go, it seems to be blue.
The
blue,
sun's blue. Following.
Fuck yeah, dude. And you get three games of rugby league now, so it's just, I'm a huge, huge fan of it.
Yep. Love it. I'm a massive rugby league fan.
Boxing Day's good, but I find increasingly that you don't get complete buy-in because a lot of people go away for Christmas. It's a weird time of year.
You don't get everyone.
You don't always get all your mates there. Whereas Anzac Day's at a perfect time of year. You get full buy-in.
No one's away.
You get full buy-in.
Yep.
That's, I think, what puts it above all.
And yeah, it's and like a lot, and it's like unifying national pride.
Correct. Everyone's frothing. Everyone's absolutely foaming at the mouth. Mm. And you get full attendance.
Yep.
You get full attendance. Hope I've helped.
Paul Kent getting spiked onto a tree is as rugby league as it gets, and I'm fucking here for it.
It is extremely rugby league.
It is. It's the most
He got speared into a tree root. Tree root.
Yeah. Like, if that was an AFL, if that was an AFL equivalent story, it'd be like they were found to be dealing meth. Whereas in rugby league, it's just like one of the lead voices in rugby league on the biggest rugby league show, spiked into a tree root.
Correct.
Off his guts, allegedly, outside of a Roselle pub.
Allegedly. As opposed to high-profile AFL player cooking meth in backyard.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? See the difference?
Yep.
It is as rugby league a story as you are likely to find.
And probably the rugby league scandal of the year.
Easily so far.
Well, so far, yeah.
Keep an eye at the end of the year. That's all
I'm saying. All right, bang. I'm at Warfar with the sneaky dribbler over here. I don't see Eddie. I don't see Tom. But all I want to know is that why the fuck haven't your boys made anything happen in Sydney for a meet and greet? That's all I want to know. And that's coming from the handyman dribbler over here. If you don't do it, I'm going to be fucking annoyed. But to be honest, I'm going to be in Brisbane where you guys are there. So, whatever. But still, fuck you boys. Love you boys. Let's go.
It's a fair question.
Is he calling for a Sydney meeting?
Right? Yeah, I think he's calling for a Sydney sesh. And I get it. I understand that's a fair. It's a fair question the man asks. We've never done it. Well, that's not true. We did it for Origin a few years ago.
We did it for Origin a few years ago. We have only ever done that.
Yeah.
We've been like to bloke shit, but it's not the same.
Is it? No, it's not.
Yeah, so we've done one thing.
Yeah, we've done
and one. It was a roaring
it
success.
It was a fucking roaring success.
And we put 50 on them, if memory serves.
We did.
And Turbo got a hat trick.
He did, which we predicted. And he got man of the match, which we predicted. And if you were betting on it, which I was, you made shitloads of money.
Thousands.
Yeah. Some dribbler made 10.
Let's go.
Oh, Tom, Eddie, punters and dribblers. The Nerd Dribbler here calling in from Texas. Just been listening to 623 and want to give Amy from Macquarie Park a shout-out. Obviously, Tom, horrific stuff that's happened, but glad to hear you're driving an EV and on the environmental crusade. Just interested, are you charging it at home, and has your coal-powered electricity bill gone up over the weekend? Definitely worth considering those impacts on the environment before you get too self-righteous. But anyway, I mainly wanted to call in as the podcast has likely grown and might be pretty difficult for some newer dribblers to find the podcast that the Sleep Dribbler featured on. And so I had actually written a note back in the 11th of June 2020 to note down the different podcasts he was on just because of how outrageous it was. So for those who want to go back and listen to who this is, or for the older dribblers who want to go back and reminisce, podcast 209 at the 1 hour and 38 minute mark, podcast 219 at the 2 hour and 3 minute mark, and podcast 239 at the 1 hour and 45 minute mark. I go back when I'm in dark places and listen to those. It's unbelievable content. Hope you guys are doing well. I do miss Dior Dave, but I'm hoping because he's not there that my dribble will actually get played. I don't think he liked my ultra-conservative views, and so he always used to screen my previous dribbles. Take it easy. Be it soon.
That was good stuff.
That was good stuff from the Mer Dribbler.
I'm not surprised that the conservative wasn't played by the lefty.
No, very much so.
Dear Dave, no longer with us, obviously, so that dribble was then played.
R.I.P.
If you haven't listened to Sleep Dribbler, go back and listen. It's as he said, it's incredible content.
Yeah.
The first time we listened to him, it was terrifying.
Yeah, it was actually.
In the extreme.
It was etch.
And he's become a cult classic.
Correct. Correct. So there you go.
No longer dribbles.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He might be dead. Who knows? And the last time we heard him, he was on the fucking side of the road. No, I don't charge it at home. There are charging stations around my house that do the trick.
Do they also rely on?
Mate, listen. That's
good old Aussie Carl?
Don't know, mate. Don't know. They very well could. But I would also say that I'm also not burning oil, burning petty, and sending it out in the atmosphere. You know what I mean? So not only am I saving on the petrol and on the literal cost of a car because the great people at Honda just gave it to me, but I'm not putting disgusting toxic fumes out in the environment for little little budgies to choke on and shit. You know what I mean? You don't want to kill the budgies, dude. You just don't. So listen, am I an EV guy? I'm fucking, it's looking like it. Pat Cummins over here. Now, if my car gets written off, we will need to replace that one as well. So, who knows? But, huge EV guy. I also haven't needed to charge it yet, so I don't know what the fucking go is.
Might be a bit beyond you, man.
I will. I know how to do it. I just haven't needed to do it.
You back yourself in?
It's pretty straightforward. Just plug her in. Unplug it.
On we go.
Last one.
Tom, Eddie, Tobler, tote bag. Just had a quick thought that I thought I'd share with you guys to see if you what you guys think. So obviously the old Zach Lomax saga's come to an end. He signed with the fucking Mighty Eels for 2025.
Mighty.
But obviously, I think we skipped over the fact he was wine-dined and 69'd by Brad Arthur, Mrs. Arthur, and King Gutho himself. So I was thinking to myself, I was wondering what kind of cook we reckon Brad Arthur is, or his missus is. Like, I can't really see the bloke standing smoking his meat for 8 hours, but he doesn't really take me as a spag bowl man with a bit of garlic bread on the side. So, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. Let me know. Para forever, Manly fucking never.
Well, that turned out well. That aged well. I don't know whether Brad would have time to cook. I think he would have the ability to do so. I think Brad could fucking, like, cook a barbie. You know what I mean?
Brad Arthur could cook a barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could. I reckon he could burn stuff occasionally.
Of course he could. But I feel like he has, much like his team, he has all the right ingredients. It's just that, like, he can't put it all together. So, like, you know, maybe he's sort of like, I just do one thing well. I can't, like, mix heaps of shit. Or maybe he just offloads to the wife and goes, listen, you see how my team's running.
I think he's a meat and three veg sort of guy. Cooks his vegetables in the microwave under a bit of Glad wrap, steams them up. I think that's the way he cooks.
You were the first Plain person Jane. I ever saw do that, and it blew my mind that that was how you cook veggies.
Used to.
Well, yeah.
That's the Dubbo way.
I was like, when we were living together, and you're like, he was putting his veggies in a bowl and then putting plastic over them. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, just steaming me fucking veg. And I'm like, that can't be good.
There's no way.
There's no way there's not, like, the shit from that plastic just getting soaked into your fucking...
There's 100% that's happening. It's 100% what's happening.
Now, then Streety took it to a new level and he poached his eggs that way. He would crack his eggs into plastic, wrap it up, and then he would put it in the microwave.
In cling wrap?
Yeah.
He also, and I've said this many times, but worth repeating, he also would cook his smoked salmon on the pan, not realizing that smoked...
Well, he served it up cooked. To us at his house, and we were like, what the fuck is this? Like, salmon, smoked salmon is like a beautiful orange, and then this just became this milky, like, white, dusty, pink fucking shit. And we're like, what's this? He's like, it's a smoked salmon. We go, if you've just been cooking that, you stupid fuck. Which he had.
And he blamed it on his dad.
Yeah, he said, that's unfair. What dad always does it. And you're like, no, he doesn't. No, your he dad doesn't. Is a phenomenal cook. And you are not. That was just stupidity. Anyway.
Righto.
That us?
Love is all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.